Teriasa quasten jela ro quan de la boste tela. Hallelujah, Jesus. Go ahead and enter in. Go ahead and enter into the place of my spirit. For there is a well that runs deep, deeper than most have even known of. There is water available that most of my people have yet to taste. For my desire is to bring you into the deep places of my spirit. For you've hungered and you've thirsted. And in some ways you've been satisfied. But I speak now to those who continue to hunger and continue to thirst and will not be quenched with what they have received so far. For there are some whose thirst is already quenched and they're satisfied with where they are. They're no less righteous. But there are those who are hungry and thirsty for the deeper things of my spirit. And I say to you this day, come and drink. Come into those secret places and allow me to pour you out a drink of water. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that what I have reserved for you is good. I haven't reserved it in the way that the world might think. I haven't kept it from you. I haven't tried to hide it. But there are those who have decided that they want it enough that you'll go after it, digging past deception and digging past what the world has piled on as religion and a form of godliness. But I say to you, if you are willing, dig on. Continue to dig. Continue to dig deep. Continue to follow after the instructions of my spirit. Just as a man goes out to dig a well, there's a time in which he reaches the water and it fills up. And I say to you this day that you're very close to that point. Continue to dig in. Continue to dig deep. Continue to set aside the things of the world and make arrangements in your life for me. Continue to make a place for me, for I will not disappoint you. Continue to make a place in your heart and a place in your life for my spirit to move, for my spirit to reside with you, for my spirit to have control in your life, and you will not be disappointed. For there's coming times of refreshing, there's coming times of anointing, there's coming times of the miraculous. But once again, I say these are not the things to be satisfied with, but continue to go deeper. For I desire a people who will fellowship with me on a level that is beyond the carnal understanding and is beyond the realms of human, trying to get this word, I want to say thought, but it's more than that. I hear the Lord saying, I desire to fellowship with you in the Spirit, which is a place that most have not understood or experienced. For man has said, this is the Spirit, and it was not. Many have said, I've found the Spirit, and they have not. But I say to you, continue to dig deep. Continue to follow me. Continue to be compelled by the anointing and by the Spirit that is within you, and you will find that place that I have designed, that is only found, that is meant to be only for you and for me, a place of intimacy, a place where I can fellowship with you as I did with Adam. A place where I can talk to you the way I did with Adam. A place where we can know one another and I can have my desires fulfilled and you can have yours. For there has been much talk of this place. And there have been many men who have boasted that they have entered in. But the truth is, few have even been willing to sacrifice enough of themselves to taste and see what I have to offer. So I speak to those who are willing. You say, I'll give up my life. And I say to you, I believe you. Come, give up your life. Receive what is mine. Receive from that which I have for you. And you'll see that you'll not be disappointed. You can believe the words that I say, for I do not lie, and I make good on the promises that I give to my children. So once again, I speak to you, to those who are willing, come. Come. Continue. Continue to listen on the inside. Do not grow weary in well-doing, but understand refreshing is coming. Even now, even right this moment, receive from my Spirit. Receive a refreshing. Receive a grace to enter in. Receive a grace to take a sip. And to taste what the next level is that I have for you. For I am able to serve at all levels. And if you'll decide today you want more, I'll I'll allow you to taste of the next level. But then it'll be up to you to make the decision to follow it, to follow through, to walk after the Spirit. And you'll see that I'll help you every step of the way. I'll be with you. I'll encourage you. I'll strengthen you. So choose today. Choose to continue to dig deeper into the well of my Spirit and find that which I have for you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Today I want to continue along the lines of what I've been preaching. And I've just been talking about the things of the Spirit. It's the best way that I could describe it. There's other words you could use, but the problem is when we start using common words, people already have an idea of what it means in their mind. And so I'm trying to make this as vague as possible to let you know that we're talking about all the things that the Spirit has to offer. And by Spirit, we could talk about the different realms of that and the different ideas of that. And this gives me a vast array to work from. So we'll call it the things of the Spirit. And today, I believe we're going to talk a little more about how the Holy Spirit communicates with our spirit, how we can follow the flow of that in our lives. So I want to read a prophecy from the Lord's present day speaking. I don't think this is a prophecy that came from the pulpit. It might have. I don't remember. But it doesn't matter. This is from March 19, 2020. If you want to look it up on the website, it's PT200319, Flow with My Spirit Continually. There's never been a time when man has populated the earth as they do in this generation. There is much darkness in the earth, and darkness is increasing as men choose to follow their own hearts rather than mine. It is important to follow after me in all things, and it will be increasingly important to walk with me, absent of fear and full of wisdom, for the days that are ahead will at times be difficult to walk through, the hearts of many waxing cold and colder still. In the midst of difficulties in the earth, your desires are continually reaching for me, bringing you into vital places of intimacy that are your life's necessity. Your hearts are being turned to even more times of prayer, becoming those who pray unceasingly. That is the place I'm training my army to be, close to me continually. At all times, vessels for my use in my authority. The prayers of my spirit are anointed prayers. The unction of my spirit is in the prayers you utter through the unknown tongue. The life and power of these prayers that originate in me are as if my son were on the earth uttering prayers for me to answer continually. The Spirit receives that which is of the Son, and the Spirit speaks continually of the Son's inheritance in me, your inheritance, declaring it unto you. All that pertains to your life in me on this earth is within this inheritance. And as you pray by my Spirit, you allow me into the details of many things. In all your praying, pray in me, flow with my Spirit, for it is heavenly words that he is delivering, that you might stand as my sons, my kings and priests, whose dominion is in me. Pray much in the language of my spirit, for in your praying you are standing as my own sons, as kings and as priests in the authority of a body, as one man, the one true dominion in the earth today, my son's body. Pray much in my spirit, for nothing is lacking in that which he delivers to you to pray. As that concerns you, he knows. Pray much. Continue to pray much. As my sons, decreeing my will concerning many, many things, flow with my spirit continually. For it is heavenly words that you are speaking, and I will bring fruition to all that you are speaking. Flow with my spirit continually, so that my decrees, my truths, and my answers are delivered continually both to you and that which concerns you. Flow with my spirit continually. Now, this was in 2020 that this prophecy was given or received. And so I don't think the Lord's changed his mind. I believe this is an important thing for us to remember. I don't think I have to tell you that it's a good practice to pray in other tongues. I believe if you've been at the prayer center for any period of time, you should understand that. But if you don't, that's a part of what we're doing. That's a part of our training. That's part of our development in understanding how to flow with the Holy Ghost, is allowing him to pray through us, praying in other tongues. Flowing with him in a time of prayer is like practice for life. You get to practice with him in the prayer closet so that you can hear him in your daily life. How else are you going to learn how to flow with the Holy Ghost but to spend time with him? How else are we going to learn how to have him in our life but to spend those times praying in the Holy Spirit? I was going to say spend those hours because I think that's important, but I said times just because I don't know what your time frame is, but whatever time it is, you want to get to the place where it's hours. You want to spend hours with him so that he can train you and develop the things of the Spirit that he has for you, the places he wants you to walk, the things he wants you to do. There's no other way to do that, because if I pray what I want for my life and God answered that prayer, I'd probably be in a mess. I mean, you know, we all have desires and things we want. And even when God tells us what he wants for us, we start painting a picture of what that might look like. You know, he's called you to the ministry. Oh, wow. You know, now I have international ministries and I've got my own airplane and I've got, you know, a staff of people that will wait on me and take care of me and fly me around the world. And, you know, and if God answered all those kinds of prayers, we'd end up in a mess, because we're not really at a place of maturity to receive that. But when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we're allowing his prayers to be answered for our life, allowing his desires to be prayed up for us so that we can enter into a place that he has for us. So let's just pass real quickly in review. We're talking about the things of the Spirit, and it's important to understand that you have a spirit. So let's look. Proverbs 20, verse 27, it says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." That's just a reference point for something for you to think about. That in order for God to lead you, in order for him to communicate with you, in order for him to show you things, it's going to be done in a place of the Spirit. And as Alan has taught, we have an inner man, we have an outer man. The inner man is the spirit of man, and that's the where we want to concentrate and begin to and continue to be spiritually minded, so that we can be renewed to the things of the Spirit. Let's look at Romans 8, and we'll just begin in the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, I'm not going to try to teach all of that. There's a series, a great series called The Born Again Trail on Dave Robeson's website. I would highly recommend that to learn to really extrapolate all that's being said here. But the point that I want to get to is this, that we are called and we are commanded, really, to walk after the Spirit. Even as a born-again child of God, it's possible for you to walk after the flesh. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't say to those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And so we're continually reminded in Scripture that we are to be living after the Spirit or in the Spirit or walking in the Spirit. He continually reminds us that this is a spiritual journey that we're on. And it's not just about like, well, I do spiritual things. I go to church, I pray, those types of things. No, he wants us to live in a place of the Spirit so that we're walking after those principles and those desires that come from the new nature that's in us, because that's the part of us, or I should say the inner man that's in us, forgive me, because that's the part of us that communicates with the Holy Ghost. Now, when you're born again, you're not born a full-grown man, right? None of us that were born, that all the women say, thank God, didn't give birth to a full-grown man, right? So when you're born in the natural, you're born as a baby that's helpless, cannot do anything on its own, has no no real abilities other than to find food and eat it. If you put something in a child, a newborn infant's mouth, if you put your finger in his mouth, he's going to suck on it. Put anything in his mouth, he's going to try to extract some type of nutrients from that, because that's what a newborn child does. And when you're born again, it's the same thing. Some people might think, well, I've been born again, so I've been changed from darkness to light. I have all that I need. But that's not what happened. You did go from darkness to light. But you're still having to develop and grow in those things. Just like if a man lived to be 40 years old without the knowledge of Christ, he would have developed certain things in his life. A certain way of living, a certain way of thinking, a certain way of doing things. He might be a fornicator or adulterer or whatever. And it never really bothered him because that's the way he's always lived his life. But suddenly, he becomes born again. And something says, there's something wrong with what I'm doing. There's immediately this conflict that takes place. You're like, well, yesterday I did this and it was fine. But today there's something wrong. And see, that born again spirit within you has a new nature in it. And now it's going against your new nature to continue in sin. But it's very easy to go, well, I've been doing it my whole life. Can't be anything wrong with it. And just continue to walk in that. You can override that. Now you're walking after the flesh instead of after the Spirit. The Spirit's trying to tell you, don't do that anymore. And you're going, well, no, I have always done it this way. This must be the right way to do it. This must be the right thing to do. And you follow after the flesh. Now, it's very obvious when it comes to sinful things. But what happens when it comes to just everyday things that we don't think are all that important? How I do something. And yet the Holy Spirit's trying to teach us. And so in our walk with God and in our walk and trying to walk after the Spirit and learning how to walk after the Spirit, I believe, well, I'll say it this way. For me, the training of the Holy Spirit has been in the areas of things that are safe, right? Maybe going to the store or doing, I know that sounds silly, but one time, I'll just give you an example. I went to the store. And there was, I had in me the idea, I knew I needed something else, but I couldn't remember what it was. And so I just decided I'm going to ask the Lord. And the Holy Spirit began to lead me. Now, I can't tell you, was it the Holy Spirit? Was it your own human spirit? Well, I was doing my best to try to figure it out. At that time, I had no idea, but I knew that I needed help. And it was as though someone had tied a rope around me and was pulling me by my torso, pulling me around. And I walked around the store and I would go one direction and I'd feel like, no, I need to go this other direction. And then it would begin to pull me around and then it just stopped. I thought, well, I don't really feel it anymore. And I look up and there's toilet paper. I was like, that's what I needed. I had forgotten the other product that I needed. And the Lord taught me in just a very practical, simple way how to yield myself to the Spirit. And I would just say that it doesn't get any more difficult than that. He wants to lead us in a very practical way every single day of our life. And we get this idea that if it's some earth-shattering thing, if it's a life or death situation, that he's going to part the sky and get a megaphone and shout at you, don't do that. But it's the same inner witness that brought me to the toilet paper that will lead me away from danger. And he'll take those safe things to help develop that in our life. But if we ignore those little things, those little unctions of the Holy Ghost, then we're putting ourselves on a path to follow after the flesh instead of after the Spirit. And when we begin to decide for ourselves the way that we're going to go, if we decide to make the decision based on the outer man instead of on the inner man, then we're growing up. But we're growing up in the flesh instead of growing up in the Spirit. See, there's a lot of people that mature in their mind and in their ways of thinking, but they might mature according to the ways of the flesh instead of maturing according to the ways of the Spirit. So there's more than one way to walk after the flesh. There's more than, I'll say it this way, there are different areas in which you can walk after the flesh, and there are different areas in which you can walk after the Spirit. There are Christians today who would say that they walk after the Spirit because they don't drink and they don't smoke and they don't chew and they don't do all the things that that are sinful, especially the outer sins that you can see and recognize. And so they say, I don't do that, so I don't follow after the flesh. Well, that's one area in which the flesh is prominent in our lives, but there's many other areas. And God is calling us to walk after the Spirit in all areas of our lives so that we're committed 100% to that place where he speaks to us, which is the inner man. And if you're a child, if you're a newborn baby, then you need to be taken care of, but you have to be nurtured and developed in those things of the Spirit. And the only way that happens is to learn that new way of life, because now you're light, or you have within you light, and yet the outer man is left in darkness. So now we have to learn from the time that we're just a little infant, just born again, how to develop and grow. And it doesn't come from the carnal understanding. It doesn't come from the outer man. And so what happens many times is the church tries to develop people, but they develop them from the outside in. You know, you've heard of the churches where, you know, you don't wear makeup, you need to not wear jewelry, you have to be more holy, you have to quit drinking, you have to quit smoking, all those things. But really what we need is we need to learn the walk of the Spirit and how to function in that, because we already know how to function in the flesh. I already know that I need to quit drinking. I already know that I need to quit smoking. I already know that I need to put those things down. The question is, so what do I walk in to keep that from happening? And that's why it's so important that what we've learned here, to pray in other tongues, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us that language that's created by Him, that's praying out the prayers of His desires over our life. Because if we are able to pray our own prayers, which we are able to, but especially as a newborn child, we're probably going to be praying the wrong thing. But the Holy Spirit is there to help us. That's why it's so important even when we're first born again, to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can allow Him to speak through us the prayers that He has for us and reveal to us the will and the ideas and the things of the Spirit. We don't learn the things of the Spirit from the flesh. We learn them from the Spirit. Just like, honestly, we don't put to death the things of the flesh through the flesh. We do it through the Spirit. All right, let's look at John chapter 7. So the idea of me sharing these things with you is just to kind of put a foundation that we're talking about that which happens and that understanding that comes from the inner man, the Spirit within us. I know most of this is nothing new, but it's important for us to be renewed to the idea that we must walk after that inner man, following after the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7, verse 37. Because in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So he said that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And we know that when we're born again, the Spirit is life. And out of that life, there's a flow. There's a flow, he says, not just a river, but rivers of living water is flowing from us. Let's look at, or from out of our belly. Let's look at John 14. I'm going to get to preaching in a minute, but I want to get a few scriptures. John 14. Glory to God. Verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you." So we talked a little bit about this last week. Even the Old Testament saints had the Holy Spirit dwelling with them. We talked about Ezekiel. He was brought out into the Spirit. He had a spiritual experience. He saw things. He heard things. He prophesied. And he had the Holy Spirit with him. But Jesus said, you know the Holy Spirit. He's been with you, but he will be in you. And today, we get to live in a place where the Holy Ghost is in us. And it's not just a place that we go to. It's not some place that he comes alongside and takes us. But it's a place where we can live in that place of the Spirit. So if I can learn to walk after my Spirit, then I can learn to walk with the Holy Ghost. Not only with him, but I am one with him. Because he said, even as you and I are one, Father, let them be one. But where are we one with him. It's in the spirit, not in the flesh. So I have to learn to walk that way, because my whole life, for the most part, I've been taught how to walk in the flesh. And I'm not talking about your fleshly body. Obviously, you've got to walk. Obviously, you have to move around in your body. But I'm talking about a nature that's contained within the old man that tries to dictate how your life will go. And I really enjoy, even though sometimes I don't fully understand and I have difficulty with it, I really enjoy what Alan has been teaching about spirit, soul, and body, because although what I believe what we've been taught is correct, there's some technicalities that make it difficult for us to distinguish who we are. Because see, if I am to walk after the Spirit, and if that's my born-again spirit, then how can I be a spirit? I'm a spirit, but I'm walking after the Spirit. See, there's a part of me, there is someone, there's me, who gets to make the decision. Am I going to walk after the Spirit? Am I going to walk after the flesh? And that's what's missing at times. Let me slow down for a second. You have the Holy Spirit within you, not just with you. And so we now have the opportunity to allow him to flow through us. We have rivers of living water flowing out of our belly. And we have the opportunity to flow with that. But there's a part of us that has to decide, am I going to follow after the Spirit and flow with that? Or am I going to allow the outer man to have his way and follow that? And the only way we distinguish those two things is we have to know that channel where the Holy Ghost communicates. And Pastor Dave meticulously has gone through this and taught us how to recognize that channel, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, and then being quiet and still identifying those tongues, hearing them flowing on the inside. That channel, that's the place where the Holy Spirit is going to lead us. That's the place where he's going to speak to us, where he's going to show us things. And that's what we have to learn how to walk after that. I believe we can come to a place where we are following that in every part of our life. And even in the things of the natural that we have to get done, we can do it following after the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will help us, because that's who he is. He's our helper. Let's look at John 14. So what we just looked at, it is. Yes. Let's look again there. John 14. Verse 16, I want to look at it in the Amplified Bible. It says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him, but you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit is more than a comforter. Well, he's within us and he's helping us along the way. Now, here's the interesting thing about a helper. I've worked several different types of jobs, and many times on a job, you might need a helper to assist you with something. I've been a helper, and I've been in need of a helper. Now, the helper is not necessarily less knowledgeable than the person that needs the helper. Sometimes the helper knows much more than what the person who needs the help, the assistance with. But the person who needs the assistance is deciding what's going to get done, and the helper is coming alongside to help them. Now, it's not exactly that way, because I believe the place where we want to go is where the Holy Spirit decides what gets done. But you have to decide, are you going to do those things, or what it is that you're going to do, because the Holy Ghost isn't going to do it for you. He's coming to assist you and to help you in it. He knows way more than I do. He has way more resources than I do. But yet He needs me, my will, my decision to say, yes, this is what I'm going to do. And then He can come and help me with it. But if you're not doing anything, you don't need a helper. So we have to decide, what are we going to do? Are we going to follow after the Spirit? And if I decide to do that, it might seem scary at times. There's things that I don't understand, but I can be reassured that I have a comforter with me. I have a helper that's not only with me, but He's in me. And He's going to help me accomplish this. Because why? Because I can do all things. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. But see, in order to have nothing impossible, we have to walk in the Spirit and after the things of the Spirit and be willing to sacrifice the things of the flesh. And although we use the word sacrifice, and even the Bible uses the word sacrifice, how much of a sacrifice is it when you look at what we receive when we follow Him? You're sacrificing your life that seems important now, but when we really give it up and we actually sacrifice it, how many times when we look back at something that we had to give up for the Lord and say, yeah, man, I'm so glad I don't do that anymore. I'm so glad that's not in my life anymore. So it may look like a sacrifice, but it's actually more of a pruning and more of a cutting away of that which has held you back so that you can walk in the fullness of what He has for you. So I just want you to know that He's helping you through all of those things. And He realizes how difficult it is at times to give up our own desires and our own ways. But remember, He is our comforter. He didn't ask you to do it alone. He didn't ask you to crucify your own flesh, but He said through the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. So He's there to help you. You have to do it. He's the helper. Help me, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm trying to swing this around to what I believe the Lord is, the direction the Lord is having me go, but I'm waiting because maybe He just wants to do more here. Don't know. Hallelujah. So we've established that man is a two-part being. Well, it's more than that, but two parts of the man are the inner man and the outer man. We've established that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. You could say the light bulb of the Lord or the flashlight of the Lord, where He's able to search the inner parts of the belly. And then the Holy Spirit comes, and especially when we're praying in other tongues, it's like He turns on that light, begins to shine a light and show us all the things that need to be dealt with, some of the things that need to be removed, but also enlightens a path that we can walk on. And we follow after those things based on our relationship with the Holy Ghost, based on our relationship with Him in the realms of the Spirit, in the places where He's able to communicate to us in. In other words, we don't look at the natural to dictate to us what the Holy Spirit is saying. If we look at Paul's life, we can see that there are many things that went wrong in the natural, and there would be several people who would be, it would be easy to say, how can you be following God when nothing's going right? But see, we don't look to the natural. We look to the things of the Spirit. We look to the Holy Ghost, and we look to the inner man to hear and to follow what the Spirit is saying. Now, along that line, let's look at Acts chapter 15. And let's begin in verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner: the apostles and elders and brethren, send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Sicily. For as much as we have heard, okay. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from among us have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from these, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. So here the situation was the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews are trying to figure out what kind of law the Gentiles should follow and how they should deal with them now that they're born again and all of this. And so they went to the council. But I want you to see here what it says here. It says that it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men. So it seemed good to these men who were born again. You realize that they're making this decision out of the inner man, not the outer man. But it just said it seemed good to us. Then later on it says it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And they began to lay out what was necessary. All of this wisdom that came to them came from that inner man, came from the Spirit. And there are times when we make decisions that seem good to us. And we should understand that that's how God wants us to walk, is after that which is in the Spirit. We don't have to be confused and wonder every time we make a decision and pray about every little thing and wonder, am I supposed to do this or am I supposed to do that? There are times that we hit those conundrums and we hit those forks in our path where we have to really tarry and look to the Lord and try to find those answers. But there's also those times where it seems good. It seems good to us. And we have to learn how to seem good from the Spirit and not just seem good from the natural carnal mind. But then there are times when it seems good to us and the Holy Ghost. And there's that confirmation, that witness that the Holy Spirit bears witness with us. And we're like, I know this is the way that I need to go. Right? I know this is right. Now, don't get me wrong. You still know it's right when you seem that it's right. But there's times when the Holy Ghost comes and confirms and gives that extra nod that you're like, yes, absolutely, this is what I've got to do. And what I've found is that if you'll take a decision before the Lord, and instead of saying, should I do this or should I do that, you can just say, Lord, you know, you might say this. This is how I do it. I'll just put it that way. I'll give the example. Okay, yes, sir. In a few weeks, we're going to be leaving for a trip to Africa. So how do we decide when we should go, how long we should stay, and what we should do while we're there? Well, I'll do my best to follow the Holy Ghost. First of all, I have a word from the Lord. He told me, I've given you the continent of Africa. He told me I'm to go to Africa. So I have that word and that confidence that I know that I can go. I know that He's called me there. But then I begin to ask the Lord. Normally it comes, first of all, from a prompting of the Holy Ghost, where the Holy Spirit prompts me and says, you know, I need you to go to Africa. And this time what happened is when I was with my wife, we were on vacation, taking a few days. We went to Galveston, Texas, and the Lord told me before I went, He said, now don't forget to pray. Now see, sometimes we can get so busy, whatever it is. Sometimes you get busy doing the things of the ministry. You just are working, but you don't really spend that time with the Lord. And so we set aside one day that we're just going to pray, and we're praying in the Spirit, and we're praying. And I already had within me an unction, I should say, a not really a word. It wasn't that the Holy Spirit had spoke to me, but there was a inner witness that we should go to Africa this summer. And so it seemed good to me that we go to Africa this summer. Now, when we were there in Galveston, the Holy Spirit spoke very clearly. And he said, I'm not asking you to go. I'm telling you, you will go to Africa this summer. So it didn't just seem good to me in the Holy Ghost, but it was what the Holy Ghost was saying. Well, the summer's a little vague, you know. We have a few months in the summer. And so I just start making that inner decision, like, okay, what about this date? What about that date? What about so date? And I don't know exactly how it happens in the technical side of it, but I can tell you this. When I begin to make those decisions, there's something on the inside where I get a yes or a maybe or no. That still may sound a little vague, so let me say it this way. I say, okay, what about June? And there's maybe a softness to it. I go, okay, yeah, that seems right. It's June. So I said, okay, I'm going to go the 1st of June, and we're going to come back sometime around the 1st of July. It's okay, but there's something not quite right. One preacher said it this way, it's like taking a bath with your socks on. Something just not quite right, right? It's okay, but there's something not quite right. And then I would just pray, and I can't say I heard the dates, but I started internally thinking about this date or that date or the other date. And then when I finally come to the dates that confirmed in my spirit, then I was like, okay, this is it. It's June 1st. It's July the 18th. That's the time that we're going to go. And then we begin to look for those flights and that type of thing. Now, it begins with, it seemed good to me. It seemed good to me in the spirit. Now, there's been other times when things have seemed good to me. And then I take time to really iron it out with the Lord, and it starts to fade away, and it starts to seem like it's not good. And yet, still, there's something in me that really wants it. See, it seemed good, but that can be the flesh. The things of the flesh, that I want this thing. It seems good to me. I would like to do this. And sometimes it's a very good thing. But as I spend time with the Holy Ghost, He starts to cause that to dissipate. It doesn't, instead of softening and becoming easier and lighter, it gets hard, like, that seems like it's going to be difficult. That seems like I'm going to be pushing against something to do that. That seems like that's not quite right. And so it's in those points that I begin to back off and pray in the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Spirit bring forth His mind for that situation, whatever that might be. And then it comes again to that place where it seems good to me and to the Holy Ghost. And I can flow that way. See, we're talking about flowing with the Spirit of God, allowing His wisdom and His grace and His anointing and His purpose to come forth in our life. And so when I make decisions in my life, that's what I try to do, especially if it's something outside of my normal routine, something that is special, that is a time that I don't do every day, right? Something that I don't do every day, then I'm going to try my best to wait on the Lord, to hear what He has to say, but also, when I make those decisions, just to follow that inner peace and that inner witness, because the Holy Ghost is in you. We don't have to wait for Him to come up alongside of us and take us somewhere. He's in you and helping you make that decision. He's not only going with you, but He's in you. And so the decision is made out of the mind of Christ. And we're able to do things from that mind. We're able to function in the natural and the normal everyday decisions from a mind that has been filled with the Holy Ghost. So even though we're growing in whatever level of maturity that we're in, we can hear what the Spirit is saying. We can yield to our spirit, and the Holy Spirit can teach us even when we're not mature enough to function in all that He has for us. He will tell us what we can function in. And so that's why it's great, because it's just like you're raising your child. Jonathan is 14 years old, and he would love to take my vehicle out for a ride. He'd love to do that. He'd love to take the keys to my car and drive wherever he wants to, pick up his friends, go for a ride, do all those things, and it would be great, it'd be wonderful in his mind. And an irresponsible parent might say, go ahead, give it a shot, have fun. But see, if you're a good parent, you're going to say, no, son, you're not ready for that yet. Now, you're getting close. There are things that you can learn. There's things that I can teach you about the vehicle. There's things that I can teach you about driving. There's things that you can learn, but you're not ready to sit in the driver's seat yet. Maybe you could start the car. How about that? You go out and start the car for me. You know, there's things that you can do. So as if we learn to yield to the Spirit, then wherever we are in our maturity level, and we don't have to compare ourselves to one another, we hear the Holy Spirit train us in the area that we are in. And what you're mature enough in, you'll get to walk in. And you might have a desire to walk in something even greater, and there may be a day come that you can. But when we walk after the Spirit, then it takes away that competitiveness. See, I don't have to function the way that Gary functions up here. I don't have to teach the way Gary teaches. I can't teach the way he teaches. But that's not my calling. And I can rejoice, and I can compliment and thank God for the teaching gift in Gary. I can't teach the way Alan teaches. I'm not called in the same capacity. But see, I have the gifts and callings that God has given me, and there may be certain gifts that I don't have the maturity to function in at the moment. But if I can yield to the Spirit, He keeps me safe. I can function where He has me function. You know, there are callings and giftings upon each and every person in here. And there's some people that try to step out into a gifting, a gift of the Spirit that they could, that's available to them, and they might be able to yield themselves over to it, but it's not what the Holy Spirit is desiring and not what He wants for them at the time. And it can cause confusion, and it can open us up to things that we don't want to be open to in the realms of the Spirit. So that's why it's so important for us to learn how to yield to Him and hear Him and follow after Him. Because when we start seeing the things of the Spirit, Alan talked about the revivals that we've seen in the past where men start shaking and vibrating and all these things. I've seen one of those where a man said, this is the vibrating anointing. Let me tell you something. There's no vibrating anointing in the Bible. There's no, it's not there. I'm not saying that that couldn't happen to someone. Fine, if it happens, but we don't have to begin to start to build a doctrine around some spiritual experience that a person has. Some of it may be real. Don't know. Well, it's real, but some of it may be a response to the Holy Spirit, and you know, some of it's just the flesh. Some of it may be demonic spirits. But when we learn to yield to the Holy Ghost and follow after Him, it doesn't matter what enticing thing flashes in front of us. We don't have to follow that. We're following that inner man. When I see the person vibrating, you know, my thought isn't, I want to vibrate with them. I'm thinking, I want to cast the devil out of that person. Now, that may not always be right either. But what I'm saying is that we don't want to follow after what we see that's flashing in front of us, that's so wonderful to the eyes and appealing to our senses. But we want to learn to follow that place of the Spirit where no matter what happens with the senses, we still have that inner witness. We still have that anointing within us that is keeping us and teaching us. I believe that's why the Lord's been saying many times in these prophecies about the things that are going to come, that we may even see, that we'll see manifestations of His Spirit. But even in that, don't be distracted. Because you could see miracles in some of these areas I don't know if I'm supposed to go to. That's why I stop sometimes. But you could see miracles and you want to follow that direction. And you continue to flow down a certain way. And it's so exciting and so enticing and so romantic that you continue to go that way. And then the other people see it and they want it. And they start functioning in those things. And yet they're not really mature enough to function in what they're seeing. And it starts to fall apart. So we can't be distracted even by the manifestations that we see. Whether it be the Holy Ghost, or be a person's response to the Holy Ghost. I don't have any problem with the responses to the Holy Spirit. I really don't. It doesn't bother me. People jump up and run around the building. People laugh. People cry. People fall on the floor. It's all wonderful. But when you begin to take one of those experiences and try to make that a doctrine that this is what you must do when the Holy Spirit comes, then you're missing the move of the Spirit. You're being distracted by the things of the natural and the things of the flesh. I've been in those meetings where everybody get up and run. Well, why? You know, nobody's chasing me. I don't need to run. You know, everybody get up and dance. Well, I don't dance, you know, but I have done it. I've danced and I've run and I've jogged and I've walked through the fire tunnel and I've done all of those things. And I'm not making fun of those people. What I'm saying is that we want to develop that inner man to the place that when they're running through the fire and the Lord says, no, sit in your chair, that you're going to sit in your chair instead of doing what is being seen on the outside. Okay? Now, many times God's going to let you get up and walk through the fire. He's not interested in offending people as long as it's not something that's messing with someone's doctrine. But you know, God can speak quietly and He can speak softly to us. And sometimes the things that we do that seem insignificant to everyone else could be preaching loudly to one person that God's trying to reach. Maybe there's someone there that had questioned what's going on and sees you sitting and says, how come you sat? And you get to share with them how the Holy Ghost really moves and they get set free. I'm going into places I didn't plan to go. But it's all about the things of the Spirit, understanding that what we see in the natural doesn't always and often does not dictate what is happening in the realms of the Spirit. And we've been taught, I'll close my Bible so that I know I'm done. We've been taught here, especially, you know, that each one of us gets to follow the Holy Spirit for ourselves, and you don't have to do what you see Gary do. You know, I use that example because I had a friend who came to this church, and he said, well, I can't let anybody know what my needs are. And I said, well, and there's some truth to that, but I mean, he was like, he really needed something, and I wanted to help him. But he said, well, that's what Gary said. I said, no, that's what Gary said. The Lord told him, never let another man know the need that you have. And Gary has given examples of people who have tried to follow the same rules of never taking an offering or whatever it is God has told him and didn't work for them. Well, that's because God didn't tell them. And and the only way that we learn to walk that way is to monitor that channel within us. Monitor the inner man where the Holy Spirit is speaking and communicating to us so that we can follow that place that seems good to us and that seems good to the Holy Ghost. And His peace, His anointing, His grace, it all comes from that place of the Spirit. So it may look on the outside like nothing's going right. It might seem like this. It might seem to the natural man that this could not be. But when you are listening to the Spirit, there's something that seems right. And you go, this is it. This seems like the way I should go. And it doesn't matter anymore what others might think of it. You know, oftentimes, recently I've been sharing the vision that God's given me and what we want to do in Africa, and I might be able to share some of that here, but the point is, Whenever you do that, there's a bit of a risk involved, because when you start sharing the vision God's given you, there's always those who don't understand. And there's always those that will that want to criticize or come against it. But then there's also those who want to follow as if God had spoken to them. So we have to be careful as preachers how we share how God has brought us into the place that He's brought us to, because each one of us has a responsibility to follow the Holy Spirit for ourselves. Each one of us has a responsibility to live in that place of the Spirit and allow that to be developed in you. Let that peace grow on the inside of you. Let that direction grow on the inside of you and follow after that. Don't look at the success of another and think that you have to go that direction. That's what the world teaches. And there's some truth to it in certain areas, that you, if you do what that person did to get success, you can find that success. But in the Spirit, it doesn't work that way. You have to follow what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. It may not look at all like something that would succeed in the natural. When you do it, He brings those things to pass that He desires for us. And it comes by believing that God has your best interest at heart. Not trying to figure it out on our own. Not trying to follow our own understanding. But following Him, acknowledging Him, allowing Him to direct our paths. Amen? So I just encourage you, continue to follow the Holy Spirit, continue to flow with the Holy Spirit, continue to pray in other tongues and allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you. And I believe as we do this as a body, we're going to develop ourselves to recognize and to be able to flow with a move of God that, well, as he said, that no one's ever seen before. We're going to learn how to flow into this revival. But on the way there, we're going to learn how to flow with one another. We're going to learn how to flow in the Spirit and to be there for one another. Hallelujah. I really sense he wants us just to wait on him for a moment. He said, "Tundrasa katista chala." Sometimes we get so busy and we get so wrapped up in a routine and in a way of doing things that we forget to just wait on Him. And then when we do, we expect something spectacular. But don't mistake the supernatural looking for the spectacular. Don't miss what I'm doing, says the Lord. In the quiet times and in the things that seem insignificant, don't miss what I'm doing, for I'm working in the realms of the Spirit and bringing forth supernatural things, even in a time like this, where things are quiet around you and where there's no apparent manifestations. Realize that I'm working, and I'll work on the inner man in a way that oftentimes cannot be seen. But if you'll allow me and you'll wait on me, I will come, and you can expect that I am doing a work, even when it doesn't feel like it, even when it doesn't look like it, even when you can't see it, even when you can't feel it, even when you can't hear it, even though those around you will tell you nothing is happening. Understand that as you wait on me, I'm coming with my Spirit, and I come to fellowship with you. And there's no man that has ever been with me that has regretted the time that he spent. So trust me. It's worth it to wait in my presence. The outer man desires a show, and the outer man desires to see something that would indicate that there's been a change. But if you'll wait on me, you'll see that I will come in such a way that even the outer man one day will have to say, "This is not what I expected. But you'll see that that which I will bring from out of that time of fellowship will sustain you in the days ahead. For in the quiet times and in the times that are even silent in my presence, I am working. And I am providing nourishment to you. A peace that passes all understanding, that you'll be able to draw upon in the days of trouble. You'll be able to draw from that place that you waited with me so that I can bring it up out of your spirit in the days of darkness, in the days of difficulty. For as you know and as you've been told already, there is darkness coming, but know that I will keep you. I will keep you in my peace. And I'll provide for you wisdom in the darkest hours, that you'll be able to shine even brighter. And you'll see that my church will arise. Those who I've called and those who I've chosen and those who have heard, they'll arise even in the midst of darkness and shine even brighter, even brighter. So stay with me. Come away with me. Schedule even more time to be in my presence. In times of prayer, in times of waiting, in times of fasting, come, be with me.